Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vachim Daf Pei Vov. Don't forget to click the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning today's Shiur is found at the bottom of Pei Hei Omid Beis, the opening of the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Before we go into the Gemara itself, let's investigate what our topic heading has to say. The word nosei, you can see, appears in the outside margin at the bottom, underlined. This represents a topic heading that in our marking system, in our pre-marked Shas, Ozer, Gemaras, we attempt to provide titles and topic headings to each sugya as they come along. So in this case, we've written in Atzomois, Gidim, Karnayim, Utlafayim, the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves, v'zman shemechubore ma'alim l'mizbeach, when they are attached to the animal, to the basic limbs of the animal. And if you're dealing with the korban ola, its limbs are brought onto the mizbeach and cast into the fire. So when these items are attached to the basic limb, then they too are part of the offering. However, pirshu, if, let's say, the bone got separated from the meat of the ola, or the hooves got separated from the foot, so then lo yalu, they are not to be put onto the mizbeach. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source. You can see it's a section that appears in a frame. In our marking system, we attempt to distinguish Tanaic literature from the rest of the Gemara by framing off the Tanaic sections. Tana Rabbanan, so we have a Tanaic source that says v'hiktir hakoyin es hakoyul hamizbecha. That is a posuk, which indicates that everything is to be offered. L'rabois, this comes to include ho'atzomos, v'agidim, v'karnayim, v'atlafayim, the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves. Yochol afilu pirshu, are we to understand that one should offer cast into the fire on the altar, even if these items became separated? In other words, to offer into the fire bones by themselves. Talmud lomar, v'yosisa oloisecha habosar v'hadam. This pasuk indicates that from the ola, all that is offered is the meat and the blood, which would serve to be exclusionary of those other items. E bosar v'hadam, yochol yachlutz, gidim v'atzomus v'yala bosar l'gabi mizbeach. If one is to emphasize this pasuk of bosar v'hadam, then is there an instruction to separate the sinews, bone, and bones from the rest of the limbs and bring just the meat onto the altar? Talmud lomar, v'iktir hakoyin es hakoyul. So we have, on the other hand, this inclusive type pasuk, whereby we are to understand that the bones and sinews are to be brought up as part of the limbs. So how do we resolve these two verses? Mechubarim yalu, as long as they are attached, the bones, hooves, etc. are attached to the limb, so they are brought up onto the altar as part of the limb and cast into the fire. Pirshu, however, if they got separated from the basic limb, afilu hein barosha mizbeach yerdu, if, let us say, the sinews or the bone got separated, even if on the top of the mizbeach they got separated, they are taken off the mizbeach. Man tana de shamis le de omar pirshu yerdu. Who is the tana who we have heard in the past to say that if they got separated, so then they are taken off the mizbeach? Answer: Rebbe he. It's Rebbe, and with this knowledge, then this unnamed source, we will be able to ascribe to Rebbe. Rebbe will appear at the latter half of this particular Tanaic source. You can see there's a frame section, and Rebbe's name is dashed, underlined halfway down into the source. Desanya, the pasuk says, "V'hiktir hakoyin es hakoyul hamizbecha." L'rabois, to include ho'atzomos v'gidim v'karnayim v'atlafayim afilu pirshu. This approach, this is the Tanakama's approach, is saying that the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves are to be cast into the fire even if they got separated. It's quite likely, according to the Tosfos, that the separation took place while they were on the Mizbeach. So that if while they were on the Mizbeach, the bones got separated from the limbs, this opinion says, cast the bone into the fire. So what am I to do with this pasuk that indicates basar v'dam, meaning meat and dam and blood, which would tend to exclude these other items? Answer: Lo maloch ikulei oila ato machzir v'ato machzir ikulei gidim v'atzamos. What this pasuk, which serves as a limiting teaching, tells me that when you have limbs that are ikulei, consumed limbs, the fire has taken hold of them and they're burning, and let us say they jump off the mizbeach. So if you have the meat of an ola that is being consumed and jumps off the mizbeach, then you're machzir, then you put it back into the fire. However, if you have ikulei gidim v'atzamos, and they get removed from the fire, those you do not put back in. Rebbe Oimer, and we're here really to emphasize Shitas Rebbe, one pasuk says everything is to be offered onto the altar, riba, that is inclusive. And the second pasuk features only basar, meat, and dam, blood, not inclusive. That's a limiting pasuk. So how are we to resolve these two psukim? Answer: mechubarim yalu. If the bones and gidim and atzamos are attached to the limb, then they are brought onto the mizbeach as part of the limb. Pirshu, however, if they got separated from the rest of the limb, afilu heim barosh hamizbeach yerdu, they are to be taken off the mizbeach, even if they got separated on the top of the mizbeach. Nevertheless, they are to be taken off. They are not offered independently into the fire. Pirshu, afilu heim barosh hamizbeach yerdu. Omar Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera qualifies this teaching, the teaching of the Mishnah that said that if the bone, using that as an example, we can talk about hooves as well, but if they got separated, even if while on the top of the mizbeach they are to come down, Rebbe Zera qualifies this and says, lo shanu, the Mishnah that teaches it shall be taken off, it's taught only elo shepirshu klapei mata, that when they got separated, they got separated and moved away from the fire. Aval klapei mala, if in their separation the bone got separated and moved closer to the fireplace, kruvi hu da'akrivu le'ikol, it's considered being drawn near to its consumption, and that's not considered a separation to begin with. The fact that it may have physically gotten separated, but it got separated in a fashion that was moved closer to the fire, that's considered as if it's part of its offering, as opposed to being considered a separation. The Gemara asks with a tone of wonderment, Vafilu Pirshu. The Rashi takes pains to explain this and points out that it could be that the Gemara text is lacking a bit. But as far as Rashi is concerned, if you keep the Girsa, this version of the text as it is, what is bothering the Gemara is how can you talk about bones getting separated, but the Mishnah spoke about them being brought onto the Mizbeach only if they're mechubar, only if they are connected. So what we have to do is understand what is the Mishnah trying to tell us when it says that it's pirshu. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take a look at the topic heading that we have and eventually the geometric forms that we'll be in, that we'll encounter. So the nosei, the topic we have on the outside margin, Hashpoas Zrigas Hadam Al Atzamos Kochim Shepirshu, the effect that the sprinkling of the blood has on the bones of sacrifices that got separated, Kodem Zrika or Liachar Zrika, that got separated before the sprinkling of the blood or got separated after the sprinkling of the blood. And we will see this geometric form, which we sometimes refer to as the crown shape. Under our Mivneh heading, you see that form, and it indicates a Machlokas Rabo v'Rebbe Lezer be'atzamos shepirshu. There's a controversy between Rabo and lower down on the page, two lines before the next Mishnah begins, Rebbe Lezer, concerning bones that got separated. We have a little chart to help keep track of the two opinions. You have Rabo and Rebbe Lezer. Let's take a look now in the Gemara. Omar Rabo, Hochi ko Omar, Lo Shanu Elo Shepirshu Liachar Zrika. The Mishnah that taught, if Pirshu Yerdu, if they got separated, they're taken off the Mizbeach. However, they are still considered the Kedushasan. They're still considered holy. That is taught, or that is the case only if Pirshu, if they got separated, Le'achar Zrika. Now since B'Shas Zrika, at the time the blood was sprinkled, the bones were attached to the limb, the sprinkling has an effect in establishing or tying the limbs, the bones, to the Mizbeach. What do we mean by tying it to the Mizbeach? That is in an abstract sense, in the sense that they have holiness or sanctity, so that even though we're not going to be actually throwing it into the fire, however, if the bone got separated after the Zrika Saddam, the bone will have sanctity to it. Avo Pirshu Kodem Zrika, if the bone got separated prior to the Zrika, and when the Zrika took place, the bones were not attached, Asoi Zrika Vishari Sinhu Afilu Mevad Minayu Kata de Sakini. The Zrika then has an almost opposite effect, and it creates a sense of allowance or a permission to benefit from these bones, even or on a personal level, to fashion it into the handle of a knife. So Rabo makes a distinction between the Pirshu after Zrika and Pirshu before Zrika. Pirshu after Zrika, according to Rabo, the Zrika, since the bone was attached to the limb at the time of the Zrika Saddam, the sprinkling of the blood, imparted a Kedusha to those bones. If, however, the bones got separated before the Zrika, then the Zrika's effect is to matir the bones, to make them allowed even for personal benefit. Sovar law, ki hod in Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbo holds, like Rabbi Yochanan teaches, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, ne'emar lo yeh be oilo, ne'emar lo yeh be osham. The word lo yeh, it shall be unto him, is stated unto him, given to the Kayin. It says that in the case of the Ola, and it says that in the case of the Osham. Ma Osham Asmoisav Mutarim, just like in the case of the Osham, its bones are mutar, are permissible to benefit from. Af Ola Atsamois Mutarim. So too in the case of the Ola, the bones are mutar. Mufni, and the expression of Lo Ye is available for making this Gezerah Shavah. The Lo Mifni, if it wasn't an extra expression, if it wasn't available, then as far as a logical comparison, I would not have been able to make such a comparison. Iko LeMifrach, there was room to ask, Ma Lo Osham Shekem Besoro Mutar. How can you learn Ola from Osham when the Osham's meat is Mutar, as opposed to the Ola's meat, which is, of course, Osir? So the Gemara says, lo yeh yesero ksiv. The expression lo yeh, there is an extra lo yeh, so we are able to make this gezerah shava. Mosiv Rav Ado Bar Ahava. The following source is raised as a kasha on that which we've said. Atzmois kochim, the bones of kochim that one would eat, kochim ane cholim. Lefnei zrika, the bones of these sacrifices before the blood is sprinkled. Moyalin bohen, there would be a violation of me'ila if one benefits from them. La'achar zrika, if the bones in question experienced zrika already, the zrika was done, then ein molin bohen. There's no mi'ila on the bones. The zrika is matir the bones. V'shel oila molin bohen le'olam. The bones of an ola is a type of animal that the zrika's adam is not designed to matir it to the kohanim. Therefore, the zrika, as far as ola bones are concerned, would be the bones themselves are also to benefit from. Well, if we compare this to what we learned before, just a few lines up, we have arrows, and before we said that the ola bones are mutter. Bahano. Here we see that ola bones are usur to benefit from, usur to have hana from. So the Gemara explains, resolves this source with the teaching of Rabba above. V'shel ola, when Amos restate the source, v'shel ola, when it comes to ola bones, pirshu, if they got separated from the limb, lifnezriga, before the sprinkling of the blood was done, moyelin bohen, there will be me'ila on such bones until the shas zrika. La'achar zrika, moyelin bohen lo'olam. If they got separated after the zrika sadam, then there will be me'ila on them forever. They won't become mutter for personal benefit. So as far as the source that was raised as a kasha before, it's true that ola bones are subject to me'ila. That is only the case up till the point of zrika, but once zrika is done, then the ola bones that got separated before the zrika are not also to benefit from. Upliga the Rebbe Lozer. The approach that Rabba took is at odds with Rebbe Lozer's approach. Diyam Rebbe Lozer, pirshu lifnei zrika moyelin bohen. If the bones got separated before zrika, then there will be me'ila. Now, Rabba before said that the zrika is matir, and here we see that if they got separated before the zrika, there is me'ila. In other words, the zrika won't be matir. Le'achar zrika, if they got separated after zrika, lo nehenin v'loy moyalin. One is not supposed to benefit from them, but if one does, he's not over me'ila. And this is in contrast with that which Rabba said before, that if their pirshu le'achar zrika, if the bones got separated after zrika, they remain b'kedushasan, they remain in their state of holiness. And that's different than Rebbe Lozer over here, who says loy moyalin, indicating that there would be no me'ila, they are not in their state of holiness. The Mishnah.
the Mishnah. V'chulon shepoku me'al gabi ha'mizbeach loy yachzir. All of the parts of sacrifices that jumped off the mizbeach, one of is not to place back on the mizbeach. V'chein gachilis shepoku me'gabi mizbeach lo yachzir. And a coal that jumped off the mizbeach, one does not place back on the mizbeach. Evorim shepoku me'al gabi ha'mizbeach. Limbs of a sacrifice that jumped off the mizbeach. Kodem chatzos yachzir umolim bohen. If this happened before chatzos, so then one who benefits from them would be guilty of me'ila, and he also must put them back into the fire. Chatzos being midnight. La'achar chatzos lo yachzir ve'ein mo'alin bohen. However, if it jumps out after chatzos, so there is no me'ila, and there's no need to put it back into the fire. K'shem shemizbech mekadesh es haroi loy kacha kevesh mekadesh. Just like the altar has the ability to sanctify that which is fit for it, so to the ramp. K'shem shemizbech mekevesh mekadeshin es haroi lohen. Kach hakelim mekadshim, so too surface vessels are able to sanctify. The Gemara. Before we actually begin the Gemara, just want to go over a point that was found in the Rashi at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'chulon shepoku me'al gabi hamizbeach." Rashi says, V'chulon bein psulim sha'olu disnan bohen lo yerdu. Whether you're talking about the disqualified parts of korbanos that were brought onto the mizbeach, concerning which the Mishnah had taught they are, if brought on the mizbeach, they don't come down. Bein atzamos v'gidim sha'olon mechubar ve'ochloson ha'esh. And whether we're talking about bones and sinews that were brought up onto the Mizbeach while attached. Our Mishnah tells us that if these items jumped off the Mizbeach, so lo yachzir, they're not placed back on. The Gemara wants to know, what's the story, what's the status of the limbs that were poku that jumped off the mizbeach. Hechi domi, e deis bohu mamish. If there is still substance to them, in other words, the fire didn't fully consume them, and they still have substance, there's still meat to them, then afil acher chatzos nami. Then even after chatzos, they are to be returned. E deles bohu mamish, and if they are completely burnt, then afilu kodem chatzos nami lo. Then even prior to chatzos, there is no need to, if they're completely burnt, there's no need to put them back on the mizbeach. Lo tzricha, the Mishnah that speaks about chatzos being the deciding time, is talking about bishriri. Rashi explains at the top, bishriri, koshin, they're hard, shniskashu machmaseish, became harder as a result of the fire, Shisholta b'chulan v'nisrafu, where the fire took hold completely of that limb. Elo shelo nasu pecham, but it hasn't reached a stage in which it's become a coal yet. Elo ke'etzim yaveshim heim mitocham, rather they're like dry wood inside. In other words, limbs that are quite burnt but not yet turned into a coal, or rather hardened and dried by their exposure to the fire. So we say about those things that if it jumped off before chatzos, they're placed back into the fire, and if it jumped off after chatzos, they're not placed back in the fire. Menohani mili. From where do we know that chatzos is a deciding time or a boundary time in the sacrificial process.
Before we go further, we have a topic heading that you can see in the outside margin. Under that topic heading, we've written in Zmanim Shel Trumas Hadeshen, times for the removal of the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, whereby a handful of ash is removed and placed on the floor of the Azorah right next to the ramp leading up to the top of the Mizbeach. That process is called Trumas Hadeshen. So at what time was Trumas Hadeshen supposed to take place?
Omar Rav, Kosuv Echod Oimer Kol Halaylo Vehiktir, Vekosuv Echod Oimer Kol Halaylo Vehirim. Rav points out that one pasuk says that the entire night is available for the offering of sacrifices, and the second pasuk indicates that the entire night is for the removal of the ash. Ha Ketzad, how do you resolve these two psukim? One seemingly saying all night is for offering, and the other one is all night is for removing of ash. Answer, Ha Ketzad, Chalkehu, divide Chetzio Lahaktorah, half of the night for offering, and Vechetzio Laharoma, and the other half for the removal of the ash. With that, we would see that we have a source for Chatzos creating the equal, the consumption of the Shriri, meaning that if the Shriri, the hardened limbs, would jump out of the fire after Chatzos, there would be no need to put them back into the flames. The Gemara raises a question, though. This is a long question, as you can see from the kuf that's encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. The question lasts all of these lines of Gemara opposite this dashed vertical line. Mosiv Rav Kano, the Tanaic source, says, on a daily basis, the regular time for Torim Es HaMizbeach, the removal of the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, is from the time called Krois HaGever, which is a period, literally the call of the rooster, but it's an early morning period before daybreak, whether it's a little before or a little after that. That's the time for the Trumas Hadeshen. B'Yom HaKippurim, B'Chatzos, on Yom Kippur, the time for Trumas Hadeshen is midnight. B'Ragolim, during the holidays, B'Ashmuris HaRishona, at the first third of the night, so that you could talk in terms of, if you view the night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., you would say the first third of the night would be 10 p.m. V'i salkadaitoch mechatzos equals doraisa. If, as Rav explained before, that chatzos was the midnight was the time for the Trumas Hadeshen, Hechi Makdaminon, how could it be made earlier, as this source indicates that on the holidays it was done from the Ashmores HaRishona, from the first third of the night? But according to the way Rav presented the Psukim, it would seem that Chatzos is the time for the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Chatzos, and prior to Chatzos, one would not be allowed to remove the ash. Rabbi Yochanan comes into the sugya, offering his approach to these psukim. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and we've included on the side of the Gemara, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, Rabbi Yochanan's name with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the Gemara in which he appears. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mimashma shenema kol halayla, eini yodea she'ad haboker. From the fact that the pasuk says that that one is engaged in the fire of the Mizbeach all night, don't I know that it extends till the morning? Ma Talmud lomar ad boker. If you say all night, then I understand it means till the morning. So why does the pasuk have to say ad haboker? Why does it have to spell that out? So the Gemara answers, or Rabbi Yochanan answers, tain boker lebokro shel laila, that when there's an earlier time period, earlier than the official morning. Now, what does that mean practically? So, in effect, the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan will explain that as far as the Truma Sedeshin is concerned, there's a sliding time allowance. Kol yoimo mikros hagever sagi. On a daily basis, there is enough time to remove the Truma Sedeshin from the Kros HaGever, from the rooster crow time, and that would give enough time to set up the new fireplace and get things ready for the next morning's sacrificial activity. B'Yom HaKippurim, Mishum Chulsha D'Koyin Gadol Mechatzos. On Yom Kippur, because of the fact that the Koyin Gadol has to do all of the Avodah, we don't want to rush things, so we say that Truma Sedeshin can be done from Chatzos, from midnight. Birugolim, during the holidays, Dinefishi Korbanos, Dekadmi Osu Yisrael, on holidays when there are lots of Korbanos and there's a lot of ash that needs to be removed from the top of the Mizbeach, after the handful was taken off the fireplace, put to the side of the Mizbeach, the rest of the ash was removed in anticipation of setting up the new fireplace. And on the holidays, since there were a lot of korbanos, nefishi means a lot of sacrifices, and the people came early to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a need to do the Truma Sedeshin much earlier. Therefore, it was Me'ashmuris Harishona, from that first third of the night. Kiriktoni Seifa, as the Seifa indicates, the latter part of the Tanaic source above says, Lohisa Kriyas HaGever Magas, Achis Azoro Maleo Yisrael. Kriyas HaGever is that rooster crow would take place on a holiday. It would arrive, and the Azora was already filled with multitudes of people, showing how many korbanos were actually offered on any given day during the holidays. And hence, there was a need to have the Truma Sedeshin done much earlier. There's a point in Rashi that is of significance, and it's found on the lower part of the end of the narrow lines, Mimashma Shenemar Klomar, Kroi Kiderav Mitartzi. The psukim that we saw earlier are explained as, or are resolved as Rav set out to do. We had psukim, one posuk said, Kol halaylo vehiktir, and the other posuk said, Kol halaylo vehirim. So that, as far as the seeming contradiction in those psukim, we can use Rav's resolution, Ulaash Rashi goes on, Ulaashmino dechatzos osa equal beshriri. And to, in fact, teach us that Chatzos, midnight, creates this equal, represents the consumption point on the clock with regard to Shriri, the hard meat, the hardened limbs of the sacrifices. The Kodim Chatzos Hein Bechlal Hekter, that before Chatzos, the Shriri are still subject to being burnt. And Umei Chatzos Veilech, and from midnight onwards, Reuyin laharoma kadeshin me'alyo and veharoma, that from midnight on they are fit to be removed as part of regular ashes. Bemeukolin legamri, if you have limbs that are really consumed, completely consumed in the fire, they're not just shriri, but they become ash, they become hardened coals. Kodem chatzos nafgalon mehai kraw. That even before Chatzos, they're considered completely consumed because they've actually achieved a coal status. And that is all learned from this pasuk. What Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is that from the psukim, though, the psukim are not designed to limit Trumas Hadeshen to Chatzos and only till Chatzos. But rather, it depends on the circumstances of that particular day. But as far as the original source that we were looking for, that Chatzos is considered the time of equal, of consumption. With regard to Shriri, we can say that that is in fact revealed by the resolution of these two psukim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.